The topic: Bacon and the Renaissance. Introduction: Tillotson says in inverted comma, Bacon, the man, was the product of the Renaissance, man's glory, generous or tense, his opportunities of mind and body, his eyes finally rolling across the subtlety and the magnificence of the world. His joy is in learning, discovering, weighing, creating. All this, as it excited in Bacon's mind, shifted through into the essay. Inverted comma closed. The modern world star with the 16th century, which was the century of transition from the Middle Age to the modern time. The dawn of the Renaissance had brought in that century a spirit of rational inquiry and criticism, which started talking of place and childlike faith and ignorant reverence of authority in both secular and religious matter. A spirit of revolt was imposing upon set tradition, authority and custom. Secular interest had started overshadowing religious interest. Interest was now apparent from cultivation of classical humanistic learning. The otherworldliness gave place to this worldliness. A restless spirit of exploration and discovery was aboard. However, the excesses of materialism and the waking of the religious bond also liberated and gaucher's instincts of some who aimed at material advancement at the cost of conscience and morality. Bacon was an interesting figure of his interesting age. He represents both the splendor and the sordidness of the time, and so do the work. Let us see how. Bacon's intellectual modernity. Bacon represents the intellectual modernity so closely associated with the Renaissance. The Renaissance, in intellectual term, signalized the end of medieval scholasticism and beginning of the age of dispassionate and rational inquiries, of experimentation with the insaturatius magna, insaturatio magna. Bacon tried to sweep aside the cobwebs of scholastic philosophy, which had all along been blurring the light of science and progressive thought. The medieval schoolman, the protagonist of scholasticism, did nothing but strain their nerves in justifying the tenets of Christianity in the light of Aristotelian principle. Bacon gave his Novum Organum, N-O-V-U-M, O-R-G-A-N-U-M, a new instrument, induction, which has since played a major role in the progress of experimental science. With this, the advancement of learning, he became the first man to put forward a proposal for the establishment of a society of scientists, a proposal which foreshadowed the establishment of the Royal Society by about half a century. Bacon was an enthusiastic votary of truth. His death was caused by his enthusiasm. He once killed a bird and stuffed it with snow in order to find out the preservative effect to snow on flesh. In the process of this experiment, he caught cold, which worsened into pneumonia, of which he died soon. He lived for philosophic, scientific truth and died as a martyr in its cause. Love of learning. The Renaissance whetted the appetite of the people for learning, especially the Greek and Latin classics, which had lain unknown to the Middle Age. Bacon claimed to have taken all knowledge to be his province. In the essay, he shows a keen awareness of several branches of learning, though one of the essay concerned itself with any formal academic subject. Yet in his imagery and style, we are constantly conscious of his acquaintance with many branches of learning. He himself referred to his essay as certain brief notes set down rather significantly than curiously, concerning subject of which man shall find much of business and little in books. The topics of the essay are certainly connected with a man's worldly conduct, but not often so his love of various branches of learning, such as astronomy, mineralogy, geography, and his treatment of these topics. Considered in this connection, Bacon's used the analogies on which sedition troubles. We have shepherds of peoples had need know the calendars of tempest in state, which are commonly greatest when things grow to quality, as natural tempest as greatest about an equinoctia, equinoctia, in of faction. He says, in noted comma, the motion of factions under king ought to be like the motion, as the astronomers speak, of the inferior orb, which may have their proper motion, but at still they are quietly carried by the higher motion of primum mobile. We can easily multiply such intents as convince one of Bacon's familiarity with learning. Knowledge of the classics. This learning has another aspect, that which concerned the Latin and the Greek classics with which the Renaissance had come to England. The massive magnitude of Bacon's classical learning is easily sampled by even a cursory glance at his essay. There is perhaps not a single essay which is without some reference to and quotation from Latin and Greek writer. He quote, among other, Lucretius, Cicero, Tacitus, Seneca, Pliny, Livy, and Ovid. No doubt quite a sizable number of these quotations are actually misquotations, of course, on account of only slight variations. At their speak Bacon's comprehensive knowledge of the classics, it is a little intriguing to note that Bacon never quotes a dramatist classical for our English. As a matter of fact, toward all English writers, he is too full of contempt to quote any. Political view. Bacon's political view expressed in the essay have to a great extent the stamp of Greek political thinker. It was Plato who had set rolling the ball of totalitarianism. Bacon pushes it along. In fact, Bacon's whole conception of a state, its relation to the individuals, its supreme authority, his conception of war and commerce, etc., are all Greek in their main feature. His plea for centralized power, his undemocratic suspicion about the common masses, and his unqualified faith in the absolute power of monarchs are testimonies of his allegiance to the mentioned Greek thoughts. His ideal was King Henry VII, whose history he wrote and who kept up the king's prerogative. Like Machiavelli, Bacon's want to keep the authority of the king above question. The duty of all the subject is to work for the interest of the king, who, like primum mobile, carries all the leisure orb along with him, himself unaffected by their proper motion. Even thus are not to be independent in their judgment, but have to be ruled by the king. His observation about judge in the essay of judicature is that let them be Leon, but at Leon under the throne. Materialism and worldliness. The dawn of the Renaissance, as we have pointed out above, was responsible for injected into people a new interest in this world and the affair of this world. Gone were the day of scholasticism and religious casuistry. The stargazer of the past gave place to the earthgazer of the new times. The humanistic culture of the Greek and the Roman was mainly responsible for this new trend. Bacon's essay are a Bible of a new worldly wisdom. Like Marlowe's heroes, particularly Dr. Faustus and the Jew of Malta, Bacon, with the new learned class, was desirous materialist advancement, not only selfless learning. His essays are a reflection of the new spirit in so far as he deals with the business of providing practical precepts to a man desirous of rising in the world of the materialistic sense. His essay, like of simulation and dissimulation, of cunning and of negotiating, could have neither been written nor appreciated in the pre-Renaissance times. That Bacon's essay are in accordance with the temper of the times is easily seen by the fact that they immediately created an enormous circle of reader and admirer, so much so that not fewer than 6 editions of the work were taken out during his lifetime itself. Unscrupulousness. UNSCRUPULOUSNESS. The essays are distinguished further by their coldness and lack of moral earnestness. The qualities which marked off their writer was well. Bacon shows a kind of Machiavellian dispassionateness in the treatment of even such subjects as love and marriage. He deals with these subjects in relation to their suitability or their otherwise in furthering the material interest of an aspirant for worldly advancement. In this respect, he reminds one of the university wits, like Marlowe, Pilly, and Green. The most distinguished product of the Renaissance, who lived departed godless life, though he but seldom indulged in irreligious or immoral observation, yet his tone and treatment betray the shallowness of his moral principle. His essay in the word of William Blake are good advice for Satan's kingdom. The topic Bacon's and the Renaissance over.